Hey folks, I'm Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm coming at you at the AUA in Washington, D.C., and I have a dear friend of mine, Dr. Anna Volstead, here with us today. Anna, say hello to the crew.
Hello, crew. So happy to be here.
So, Anna, you and I met, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe like 5 years ago or so when I was at the University of Iowa. Mm-hmm. And I was doing largely men's health and you do largely women's health. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because like I saw some transgender patients when I was at the University of Iowa and you did see some men in your practice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What were you seeing the men for?
You know, mostly lower urinary tract dysfunction, mm-hmm. urgency frequency, talking to them about sacral neuromodulation.
Yeah.
Botox, small some neurogenic bladder.
Yeah, because I would send some of my male patients to actually for sacral neuromodulation, or at least to learn more about that.
Yes.
So in this field of urology now, what currently excites you?
I think new things within the ERPS field that are very exciting are the tibial implants. You know, giving the patients the opportunity to not come in on a, you know, every week for 12 weeks and monthly thereafter, but an option.
For PT as opposed to PCNS.
As an option that can be implanted in the office and they can, you know, have the stimulation on their own at home.
Yeah. So what's been the real world experience from patients who get this, it looks like a little coin, right?
Yes.
Right in their ankle. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do patients tell you?
Yeah, I mean, there are various options. There's the eCoin, which is one that I've done commercially. There are a couple other options, which is great to have competition in this space. I think that's beneficial for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the real world experience that I've seen is, you know, what the data has shown, about 70% of people have a 50% or more improvement in their symptoms. Mm-hmm. You know, like many of our options, you know, nothing is going to get somebody, you know, probably like perfect mm-hmm. all the time. But, you know, a great option for significant improvement.
Mm-hmm. And have you found that patients prefer to have this procedure than continue on their oral medications?
Yeah.
Can they stop their oral medications or do you find that they're still on them even after having this implant?
A lot of times it's nice when people can come off, especially the anticholinergics that can have some really bothersome, serious side effects. But you know, sometimes it does take, you know, the medication plus the neuromodulation together for somebody to have satisfactory results.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, because I know you're a big proponent for people seeing a pelvic physical therapist. So how do, let's say, medications and the tibial nerve stimulator and pelvic floor physical therapy, how do they fit together?
Yeah, I mean, it's great when a patient can do pelvic floor physical therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there are time or location distance restraints to that, but it's always going to be beneficial. It's always going to amplify what other treatment you're doing for the patient, whether it's medicine, whether it's Botox, whether it's neuromodulation in some form, it's always going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, because I know when I was at the University of Iowa, you were doing a study using PRP for stress urinary incontinence.
Yes.
Is anyone still talking about that? That ready for prime time or does that fit at all into your practice?
It's not. You know, unfortunately, you know, our study was negative where the placebo, you know, was just as good as the active.
But just important, as important to present on a negative study as a positive study.
Yeah. Totally agree. So, you know, I would say it's certainly not ready for prime time. It's not quite in this space where people are, as far as I know, doing more studies on it at this point.
Yeah. What do you think the next frontier is for, you know, female urinary health?
Yeah, I think our traditional dichotomy between urge incontinence and stress incontinence, it's the way we kind of think about the two different treatments. It's the way we counsel patients. It's the way that we as urologists decide, you know, what kind of pathway we're going to go, you know, pursue with the patient. But we do know in the back of our minds, that's really a continuum. Mm-hmm. You know, things are not black and white. Somebody could certainly have mixed incontinence. And sometimes it's, you know, it's when they have both, you know, it can be very difficult to figure out which one to tackle first. So the patient has a hard time expressing that. You have a hard time finding that out, even with our advanced diagnostics with, you know, urodynamics. So I think if hopefully in the future, there will be treatments that, you know, could potentially help with both and really span that spectrum and help patients with both aspects.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Anna, always good to see you.
Yes, very nice to see you, Dr. Perlman.